Our New Testament reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 21. Hear now the word of our Lord. This begins after a series of events in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. All which were shown by the more than 30 Old Testament writings written from 400 to over 1,000 years earlier, as Jesus begins his ministry. He, of course, comes and is baptized by John the Baptist. And he is anointed by the Lord as the Holy Spirit descends upon him, as Scripture said it would, as John had prophesied that it would, and as he testified that he witnessed. And then immediately Jesus was taken into the wilderness and went through the temptations for 40 days. And Jesus begins to preach, begins his ministry. Hear now the word of the Lord. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun in Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said. "I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boats and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. I'm going to read down a little farther. News about him spread over Syria, and the people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee and Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus' ministry begins. Of course, the story begins even before the creation, when Jesus, at the side of the Father, was destined for this. And as I said, in over 30 different places, and some scholars say that there's several times that many, Old Testament Scripture clearly doesn't just point to, all of Old Testament Scripture points to Jesus, every verse, every word. But Old Testament Scripture prophesies specific events, specific things that one could not have imagined. And Jesus begins his ministry. And what is Jesus doing in his ministry? Jesus is preaching. Jesus is teaching. And Jesus is healing. And that's what you are called to do in your ministry. That is what you are called to do. You are to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with those who you meet, with those who you spend time with those who you encounter. You are to study and word and read the scriptures and spend enough time in prayer that you're prepared to tell them of why this is true, and most importantly, why it matters. What difference does it make in their lives? What difference has it made in your life? And we're to heal. Now we might say, I don't have the power to heal. I can't lay my hands on somebody or touch them or give a command and the lame gets up and walk. Or you wouldn't be worried about someone getting a liver. You wouldn't be worried about somebody's stents working in their heart. No, we can't do that. But there is one who can. And we have direct communication with that one through prayer, through reading the scripture. And when we read the words in the scripture, we have to understand that these are not just words. There is power in the word of God. There is power in prayer. There is power in pleading with the Lord. There is power when appealing to the Lord. There is power when sharing the word. It is alive. The Holy Spirit is at work. You're not alone. This Holy Spirit that knows you by name, this Holy Spirit that knows you personally, this Holy Spirit that gives you the connection with Jesus Christ that is not possible in any other way, but through the power of the Word and through the power of prayer. But the important thing about the scripture that we read today in the Psalms and in Isaiah, and certainly in Matthew, is it is all about Jesus Christ. In Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, as you've heard me say before, the very first words are, it's not about you. And my goodness, isn't that the hardest thing for us to grasp? Isn't that the hardest thing? But we have to know it's not about us, because we start our Bible and it says, in the beginning, and there was no you. There was God. There was Christ. There was the Holy Spirit. There was no you. It doesn't begin with you, and it doesn't end with you. But in that part in the middle, you are vital. You are critical. You are so important. Jesus is God. Jesus was part of the creation. Jesus was part of the plan for salvation. And what did Jesus do when he began his ministry? He called others to join him. And he didn't say, I'm giving you power and whoever you touch is saved. He didn't do that. He said, I will make you fishers of men. He wanted them to go out and share the gospel and proclaim the gospel and share the good news. But Jesus didn't say, come and I will make you comfortable. He didn't say, come and I will make you prosperous. Come and I will make you better fishermen. Jesus did not tell them that this is all about them. He didn't say that. Jesus didn't tell them to come and follow me and your dreams will be fulfilled. He didn't say, come and everything you've always wanted, you will have. He said, come and follow me. It's not about them. It's about Jesus. Unless we focus our lives and understand our lives to be about Jesus Christ and the saving grace and the love that He has had for us and the provisions that He has made for us, then we totally miss the point. When you talk about your faith, when you talk about your church, when you talk about the difference it makes in your life, you must talk about Jesus. You must talk about Jesus and the salvation that He brings, Jesus and the love that He brings, Jesus and the changes that He brings in you and me. And it's only possible through His Word. There's so much power in the words that we read today. There's so much power in the readings in the Psalms. There's so much power in the reading in Isaiah and all the books of the Old Testament. And we can't just concentrate on the New Testament. The New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. The New Testament is the glory based on the foundation that was built on the Old Testament. And we have to spend time in those. But the first thing and the hardest thing that I have to do when I open my Bible, when I look at my Bible and I open it up, is I have to put Bill aside. It's not about Bill. It's not about what Bill wants to write. It's not about what he wants to say. It's not about what he's trying to get across to the people. It's about what does the Scripture tell us? What is the Lord is giving us through the Holy Spirit from this Scripture at this moment, at this time, because the Holy Spirit knows our needs. The Holy Spirit knows who's going to be here. The Holy Spirit knows who's going to hear. The Holy Spirit knows who will be willing to hear it and who will not. So when I put together a message for the morning, I don't have to put together a perfect message. And obviously you know I never do. What I have to do is to be obedient. And put myself aside and put my concerns aside and my fears aside. And more importantly, my preconceptions about what needs to be said. And I only give you that example because it is so important that when you open your Bible, when you read the Scripture, when you see this, when you see Jesus said, come and I'll make you fishers of men, it is talking to you. It is talking to you by name. It is telling you this for some very, very important reason. And a lot of things in our lives are important to us. You know, whether our car starts in the morning, whether we can make the grade at work or at school, or whether we can have our grandchildren happy with us or not, or whether, you know, whether we have something good going on or something bad going on. These words are about eternity. These words are important because it's forever. It's your soul. It's your immortality. It's your spending the rest of eternity in the presence of God. These words are important. Jesus called them to make them fishers of men. Yes, it's also said that Jesus healed them. And to the people that he healed, I am sure that was the most important thing in the world at the moment. But the healings, and even the bringing people back from the dead, or near dead, were done so that they would believe. They were done so that they would come and gather around Christ the Savior and hear the gospel. So they would come and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That He was calling them. Calling them and you and me to be His disciples. To go and share the good news with others. To share your salvation with others. To share your healing comfort. Your listening ear. Your ability to heal. Your very presence. Jesus Christ used these things so that people would hear. So that people would know He is the Messiah. So that people would know that this is something different. Jesus Christ calls us to be fishers of men. Most importantly, He calls us to follow Him. Because it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about His saving grace. It's about His mercy. And it's about His love for you and for me. Amen.